Hello and welcome to the Best of Wonder Pod. This is going to be episode 4 of our Best of series. The reason for it this time around is I have to leave town rather suddenly, and instead of putting undue pressure on the rest of the crew, we just decided, however you'd like to call it, that we're going to do a Best of show. So it's going to be random cuts from the other episodes. I'm trying to do in the range of 100, round there, because the last time I think we stopped at episode 70 with the Best of stuff. The first cut tonight, and one that was extremely embarrassing and frustrating for yours truly, is from episode 120. Now, that episode, my headset died, and so I was forced to rely on the microphone from my web camera, which produced some audio issues, and until we got it worked out, was rather hilarious. I even laughed at it quite a bit today while I was listening to it, preparing this Best of episode for you. So while the audio quality is a little annoying, I think you'll see the humor in trying to get everything worked out so we could produce a show. So enjoy this cut from episode 120.
I'd have loved it if you said, oh yes, I'm a convert, so on and so forth, but that's okay.
That's okay. I think we'll be all right.
The sound is bad at time.
Did you put it in your mouth?
Yeah, did you swallow it by accident? Oh, you're gone really, really staticky. You sound like a robot. an angry robot at that.
How's that?
Bad. Not good.
Hold on.
Oh, better.
Yeah, clean up.
The slightest amount.
How's that?
A little bit better, maybe.
How's that?
Better.
A little bit better again.
Like, how bad are we talking?
Barely able to understand you. What changed?
I don't know.
Oh, you're almost there.
Hold on, let's try this. How's that sound?
You're almost there. You're getting close.
Well, Skype's doing it.
Am I getting double your sound or double?
I don't know. I can't tell you what's going on. It doesn't. Skype is adjusting the sound volume. There, I set it to I set it to manual. Is that sound better?
I don't know what you said.
So you can't understand anything I'm saying.
It's like you're from the moon.
Coming live from the moon.
Well, so I can't hear this, so I have no concept of how bad it is.
Yeah, just hold it away from your face a little bit more.
How's that?
A little bit more.
Jesus Christ, my arm is going to go dead. How's that?
That's better.
You're kidding me, it sounds better that far away now.
Yeah, there's the slightest amount of static now.
Is it back to, like, what it was when we started the show?
Almost.
Hold on. How's that?
You're almost to where we were before it got really good. You know,
because that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Do you remember when you first plugged it in and first tried it? It sounds more like that than when you improved it to the point where right before you said, fuck you, I'm not going to turn on the webcam.
Okay. I think that, like I said, this is driving me batshit crazy, because with a headset, I can hear myself. With this, I cannot. Mm-hmm. So, should we continue?
Did you put your sensitivity up on the mic?
No, I turned it. I've got it kind of midway. Oh, wait a minute. You mean in Windows settings?
Yeah.
I don't know if Windows is even going to... Hold on.
Oh, it sounded nice right there.
That's because I stopped talking. does it sound okay now?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too.
Right there. Whatever way you're talking now, whatever position you're holding it in, that worked.
Same position. I haven't moved my arm.
I think it's how you're talking. Like, Don't talk like you're trying to make us hear. Just talk like you would in your normal voice in the room. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do that, though. Because I haven't been, like, talking any louder than I'm allowed to begin with. But
right there. That tone of voice.
Yeah, talk quieter.
Oh, oh, for fuck's sake, you got to be kidding me.
Don't use any hard vowels either.
This is all going in the show. I don't care if the show's like 3 hours long. This is ridiculous. So I want you to know that my arm is bent at like a 45 degree angle, suspended in the air.
Try rotating the camera, Mike, and keep talking until it gets to a good spot.
Yeah, I turn it away from you.
Okay. That's like further away now. Now my arm's at like a 60 degree angle.
No, but it's, turn, like, hold the mic with the microphone pointing the other way. You have to turn your arm.
Well, I have to turn my arm the way I have to hang on to this thing. How's that? All right, hey, let's try this. Fucking behave. How's that?
No, pretty bad.
No.
If you guys could always see what I'm doing. I'm trying to, like, set it on my desk so I don't have to hang on to it. How's that?
Same thing.
Still bad?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're in a tinfoil box.
See, it sounds like I'm in a tunnel.
Made out of aluminum foil, yeah.
Yes, okay. There we go. Okay, yeah. No, we're not doing a show if it's going to continue to sound like that. No fucking chance in hell.
Just if let's go back and stop it and go back and listen to the last minute or so, and you'll understand what we mean. But it is bad, yeah. Like, you were really good, really good, and then suddenly, bam, you just went staticky.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't change anything until it went staticky. I don't understand what's going on here.
I was going to say it sounded fine right there when you finish your sentence.
So it's when I start talking, and then it cleans up as I talk?
No, yeah, because when you physically talk, your voice starts loud, and then it gets soft when you finish the sentence. So if you start soft and stay soft, it might work.
Yeah, I don't see that.
That worked. That
see,
works.
That was perfect. That was
that
perfect.
That sounded great.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There's no way I could do this for an hour and a half.
Just talk really condescending the whole show. Oh, you really want to do that, do you?
Oh, God. The things I do for this fucking show.
That sounds great.
You're fucking... This is so wrong. So when I talk like this...
You're in the zone, yeah.
You understand how hard it is with these headphones on to control my volume. I literally am talking so quietly, I can't hear myself. I feel like I have a head cold. So that, like, I can't get excited at all. I have to talk like Ben Stein and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Isn't that just Ben Stein in general?
Yeah, I guess it is. Okay.
Try to get really far away from the mic.
So, how does that sound?
Sounds better. Good.
The whole sentence?
Yes.
Pretty well, yeah.
So I have to maintain this voice?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, here's what we're going to do. John, you're going to tell us what you've been playing. Please.
Okay.
Anytime now would be fine, so I could mute this motherfucker.
It's funny because I'm like leaning in, listening to what you're about to say, like you're going to tell me a secret.
Fuck you.
Okay, I'll start what I'm laying.
Thank you. That was good, though. You can't see. I can't. When you make me laugh, then I want to talk at my normal volume. It sucks. It's like having a knife hanging out of your windpipe. You know you can't move. Okay.
Okay, this next cut comes from WonderPod episode 136, which was recorded November 16th of 2012. In this cut, you're going to hear us talk about our expectations for what the critics are going to say about the soon-to-be-launched Wii U. Obviously, we know what the critics are saying today, but it's going to be kind of an interesting look to go back and see what we were thinking as the console was getting ready to launch. We've almost run out of show with the three topics we've done. Do we want to quickly attempt to talk about the Wii U since it is... I don't even know when its launch date is.
It's Sunday. This Sunday.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
Good to know. Do you guys want to just cover that really quick, or do we want to shove it to next week since the news will probably be, fuck it, let's just cover it real quick. If it's a longer show this week, hell with it. The Wii U is coming out Sunday. See, I'm prepared. I know these things, especially if I cut out John telling me when it was coming out, which we know I will not do. Here's the thing for me. I just kind of want to discuss it in general. We heard in what we've been playing, Glacianator's less than stellar experience with the controller. You could almost tie that back into John and I talking about repetition, so on and so forth. That aside, the critics or the gaming press, what bit I've observed, and of course I linked you guys to an article by Ben Kachura of the Penny Arcade Report. He's a writer I don't always agree with, especially about non-gaming topics, but he's one I respect. Seems to be pretty pleased with it. The new Super Mario Bros. U is getting pretty good scores across Metacritic, including from Jim Sterling, who has long been known as somebody who isn't particularly fond of touch and motion controls if they're not implemented correctly. Bottom line here is the critics seem to be taking to the Wii U much more than they did the Wii. What are your thoughts on that? I guess first off, and John, we'll go with you since Glacianator touched on his on the Wii U earlier.
Yeah, I think to me that's good news that the Wii U is getting some positive buzz. There's definitely been, and as Ben writes in an article, there's definitely been some confusion about what exactly the Wii U is and is it worth the upgrade. And not that I don't, you know, Joe Blow six pack and soccer moms are not going to be, you know, checking out joystick and stuff perhaps so much to find out info. To me, you know, quote unquote hardcore gamer who's a Nintendo geek at heart, it's definitely some good news to hear.
Does that make you think you'll buy one sooner, or are you still sticking with your? I mean, you've already said you're not going to buy it day one, and I think Chris Lloyd is the only one in our extended group that's got it pre-ordered. I would suspect before Christmas is over, Pat will probably have one. But that's a guess on my part. Does this make you more likely to purchase it sooner? Or are you kind of standing pat until you see something you absolutely want for it?
I say that.
Give me a rough guess. I'm well aware of how things work. Yeah. It happens to me too.
I will say, hearing that, you just mentioned that Super Mario Bros. U and even Nintendo Land has been getting some pretty good reviews as well. That those games are decent and not just like the whole thing about the new Super Mario Bros. And how close it is to the Mario Bros. 2 release on 3DS and how lackluster the Wii version. I mean, it was a huge seller, but it felt like more of the same. Plus the multiplayer stuff, like the fact that it's actually getting good reviews is a good step. So I would think, yeah, maybe sooner than I thought, but I'm still going to wait for that real killer app, I think, before I jump in.
Well, here's the thing, and that's I can't quote it word for word, but Jim Sterling in his review of Super Mario Bros. U brought up the fact that the 3DS and the last Wii Super Mario Bros. Felt like way more of the same, was not fun, this, that, and the other thing. And I think essentially what he said was he sees why now, because they were saving it all for this Super Mario Bros. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of in a way makes sense. The other thing is, while we still don't know entirely what the online is going to be, there are no more friend codes, so that means they're doing something different. Obviously it's in HD and I am really kind of happy to see Nintendo Land getting at least some love. You know, mini games can be complete and utter crap, but we got to kind of look at them differently in my mind, because a lot of the 99 cent games we buy on our mobile devices are much more than mini games at times, you know, and they seem to entertain us pretty fully. If I was to name a company that would take full advantage of that and put it on a console experience, I would say it would be Nintendo. Now we come to the more cynical of the three of us when it comes to the Wii U, and his earlier statements probably didn't help matters much. Glacinator, the positive, well, no, let me back up. I'm not even going to ask you the question I asked John. Less than stellar experience at GameStop aside, are you still enough of a Nintendo fan that you want to give it another shot in a better environment, or are you just completely souring on this deal, media or not?
I'm not souring on it because of the controller experience. I was already soured on it. And like John said, I'm not even playing on game until there's going to be that game that I just have to get. And I know that's going to happen eventually, but I don't see that happening until much later on in its console cycle as of now.
So you're still... Let me ask you this, because I haven't gotten this vibe from John, although John can chime in afterwards and tell me I'm wrong. Do you think that you're still feeling burnt to a certain extent by the Wii, so you're less giving to the Wii U?
I'm less willing to jump on the bandwagon, because I know that I can be let down, and I know what I want and what I don't want. And so, as of now, I still don't see anything that necessarily gets me interested, so I'm still very cautious about this whole thing.
Okay, so your personal feelings aside, and everything you just said is completely understandable. That's why I brought up the fact that as a Nintendo fan, you felt a little burnt about the Wii U or the Wii. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's when you go overboard and act like an ass with it, which I'm not saying you do, then it becomes a problem. Feeling let down by Nintendo by the Wii is because of the Wii is nothing wrong with that. Putting all that aside for a second, as a podcast talking head, are you happy to see the critics being positive about the thing and seeing that it probably does have potential on down the road?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I don't have like a vendetta.
No, I didn't think that either.
I mean, I want Nintendo to do well. I want them to continue producing games that I like. But going off of the information I have right now and what I've played with, I just don't see myself buying it.
Was I correct in that, John, in that you didn't feel as let down or burnt by the Wii as some people did? And I'm not saying Glacinator did a lot. I'm just saying I've always gotten that vibe from him. It seems like at times Pat, same thing. I mean, it's only the really hardcore Nintendo heads, like a certain Shower Legend that seem to be goose-stepping to whatever Nintendo does. Were you really let down by the Wii? Are you more forgiving when it comes to praising the Wii U, or what is your feelings on that?
I wouldn't say let down by the Wii U. I mean, when it came out, there was a lot of promise with the Wii. I will say that in terms of what motion control was going to bring, and I don't know if it ever, even with Motion Plus, did it really get there. But, you know, there are some quality titles on the Wii that are worth playing and, you know, for the hardcore and the casual alike. But my problem with what happened with the Wii and was the huge gaps in games that I wanted to buy. And because it was a couple of years there that there was nothing. And that's what kind of made me more, you know, it's what drove me to buy a 360. Is because it was nothing to play at that time. Like the year the Animal Crossing Wii came out, like, what the hell? It was nothing.
Let me ask you this, and it'll be the final thing, and then I've got a quick thing to say about it, and we'll be done. Glacinator, you first. There's no way the Wii U can win, is there? Because it's going to be unfairly compared to the massive sales numbers that the Wii did.
Yeah, they're going to be shooting themselves in the foot no matter what. Compare it to anything. Compare it to Wii. Compare it to the console cycle right now. Future console cycle. It's just it's at such a weird time that you're not going to really be able to actively think about in relation to everything else.
So are we going to have to look at this? I mean, rightly or wrongly, shouldn't we look at this console a little different? Maybe not compare it to other things?
I mean, we probably should, but I mean, we're going to. I mean, everything we talk about in here is in relation to everything else. So I don't know if there's a way that we can go about doing it that makes sense.
Yeah, I wasn't saying we as a podcast or we as a whole as gamers weren't going to compare it. I mean, that's our favorite thing, is to drag one thing down by comparing it to another. That's just what we do. But I'm ultimately not certain that's fair, because it's again, it's like the Wii. It's different again, and so there's really nothing fair in my mind to compare it to. Are you think the same thing, John? Do you think this thing is kind of to a certain extent just doomed because it's not going to match the Wii sales numbers, and it's kind of doing its own thing again?
Yeah. It's a difficult task. I mean, the Wii was such a runaway phenomenon. Like, I don't think there's anything that's going to be able to compare it to the Wii, you know, Nintendo or not. That article that Ben wrote, it talked about how, you know, it's going to be a hard sell, even though there's definitely a lot of potential there. And I have to agree. I'm not sure if the Wii U will be the worldwide phenomenon that the Wii was. But then again, when the Wii came out, I didn't think that would be the big phenomenon it was either.
Well, I tell you what, unless the numbers are rock bottom or stratosphere, my full intention for 2013 with us here on WonderPod is to not discuss the damn thing until about 8 months out. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And that's going back to what you're talking about, Glacinator. I want to try, at least on our tiny little corner of the internet, to inject some fairness into it. Because we don't know what this thing is going to do just yet. It's obvious that Microsoft and Sony will stick pretty closer, or much closer, to their last set. But if you stop and think about it, while the Wii U maintains a lot of the characteristics of the Wii, it has again done something different with that gamepad. And the fact that you can play it on the TV, not play it on the TV, use the damn gamepad as a universal remote, it'll groom the cat, wash your clothes, you know, I mean, it's again, Nintendo has done something completely different again. So my goal, unless it's just absolutely positively something we got to talk about, and the good news is I'm the jerk in charge deciding what's, you know, absolutely positively stuff we got to talk about. And I want it to have some time out in the open marketplace before I start making my final say one way or another. I think that's only fair and only right. And I'll tell you, the critics don't really matter to me in a lot of ways, but the fact that they're enjoying it tells me that that there is potential to reach the same audience as the Wii reached. It's all going to come down to how Nintendo markets it.
If I may throw in one quick little nugget, a little story.
Sure.
My mom came by today for a visit, and as we were sat down just, you know, having a chit chat, she asked me about the Wii U and what did I think of it, and which amazed me that my 60 plus year old mother knew what the hell it was, because I barely know what it is, and that she knew about the whole switching the screens from the TV to the controller. And that was a cool thing, and I was actually surprised that she got it, you know.
Well, and there again, that's I think that just reaffirms my stance for WonderPod in 2013 and the end of 2012. Even though we've only got realistically four shows after it comes out, anything in the first 4 weeks, I'm probably just gonna not even pay any attention to. What kind of penetration does it get? You know, your mom's heard of it. I know a couple older folks that own Wiis that have heard of it. Haven't specifically asked me about it, but I've heard them talking a little bit about it, you know, or wondering what it is. What, you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I personally, for myself, would rather see Nintendo come out with stuff that kind of goes, hey, we skipped you last generation. We're not going to skip you this generation to people like you and Glacinator. But at the same time, too, maintaining what they got to maintain. You know, I don't want them kissing the people, the hardcore's ass. I'm just saying if they give you guys little more bits and pieces that make you happy, make you want to buy it, that would make me, you know, a lot happier. We'll just have to see. I know for a fact it's not something I'm going to even contemplate getting until next year. But that's more to do with the fact that I also have a PC full of Steam games. It doesn't have anything to do. That gamepad's got me interested. I have to admit. I think that Legoland game comes out, I may be hosed. I may be off to my fine local retailer and buy it. This next cut comes to us from episode 129. It was the first time, as far as I can remember, that we had Chris Lloyd on the show, and we did kind of a question and answer session with him. And during that, I made a major boneheaded blunder. Embarrassment for me, hopefully amusement for those of you listening if you didn't catch it the first time. If you did, listen to it again, because even I had to laugh at how badly I blew a certain thing that happened during the segment. So listen to it. Here it is, episode 129. Discussion topic, partly because I couldn't think of one, and partly because I thought, you know, when we have new people on shows, it might be a good idea. We've been doing the show for 2 years, 100 and almost 30 shows. Maybe getting to know the people that are on the show a little better might not be such a bad idea. So Chris is the guinea pig for this. And it's actually a little easy for me to finally implement this because Chris lives in the UK, which for you Americans that don't own a map or a globe or Google, is not in America. And gaming there is quite a bit different. I know that already, but I suspect even I will learn things. So what I'm going to do, John and Glace, is if you guys want to be thinking of questions or anything you want to ask Chris about UK gaming or growing up in Wales or whatever, or anything embarrassing you want to ask him so we get some laughs out of it, you can do that while I'm shooting a couple softballs at him, I guess. Let's use that terminology. I think the first thing, Chris, would be kind of interesting to know was, what was your first gaming system, or what was the first time you remember playing video games?
I went over to my rich friend's house, and the NES just came out, and he had Duck Hunt with a gun, and I just thought, that was, how can you get better than this?
How long did it take you guys to learn to hold it to the screen to cheat?
That's exactly where I was playing the entire time I was over there. I had a massive TV. And I thought that was the game. And then we saw the game in like a shopping center or a mall. And then I was thinking, this is far too far away to bloody play this game properly. And I'm not getting anywhere. But yeah.
So what was your first gaming system?
Oh, my first gaming system was the Atari 2600. But that was way after I played the NES. Because I was nagging for an NES, and my parents were like too poor. So I had an Atari 2600 with about 1,000 games.
Wait a minute, 2600 or 2000? I don't remember 2600. I think you're thinking 2600.
That's the same number.
It's the same number.
What's he saying? Why am I not getting it? Oh, 2000, because he's actually bloody fucking saying 2600.
Yeah.
I'm a stupid American. You can't do things to me like that. If you guys had any idea how fucking red-faced I am right now. Because it threw me off. I'm not used to people. Oh, God, I feel like a fucking moron. Oh, this is horrible.
Are you people talking proper English?
You damn posh fucking Welsh people. Okay.
What is the Xbox 360? I've never heard of
Shut
that
up.
Before.
You bastard.
Well done, sir. I was trying to think of one. I couldn't do it.
I was trying to think of one.
Oh my god, I feel like this is going to, this is the dumbest I've ever felt doing this show in 128 shows for me. I'm dead serious because it threw me. Oh god. Anyway, so you had like 100 games for it?
I had a million, like, yeah, like 8 games in one, and I remember playing Pac-Man, and my dad would come home from, like, I don't know what you call them in America, like a charity shop, like a, you know, it's not a jumble sale, but it's like, you can just buy random stuff, like people give, a thrift store, is it?
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, and yeah, I used to come back with 2 or 3 every week on the way home from work or whatever, just like an infinite at the amount of games. Anyone used to come over to my house like, you're so rich, look at all the games you got. I'm like, they're a quid each, man. Yeah.
I kind of regret, and I don't think my cousin has that one. I don't know what happened to my 2600 or 2600 for those of you in the UK. I don't know what happened to mine, but I'm kind of, after seeing what they're going for on eBay, I'm kind of regretting that it disappeared out of my life.
Oh, I know. My parents gave mine to Next Door, like, cretins. Like, and that wasn't so long ago either.
Oh,
I could be in a banana right now.
Well, that's the thing. I somebody should do either a video series or an audio series of, like, just interviewing people you know of their worst tragedies gaming, like stuff that their parents gave away, and you know, it's worth so much money now. You
it's
could do
definitely.
It.
Parents thing, like, why do they give your shit away all the time? Like, they did it to my Star Wars toys. Like, I'm not gonna grow up. They haven't grown up either, so, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it's the just... thing. If I had, you know, you could do it in all kind of geekdom, as far as you know, like Star Wars stuff, G.I. Joe. If I think back to all the crap that I, like, either destroyed or my parents gave away or just got lost over time, oh god. I don't look at eBay for toys or video or vintage video games. It just makes me sad.
Soul destroying.
Exactly. All right, John, you got a question for Chris, or do you want me to keep going?
Well, I haven't got a juicy question for you, but other than why don't you tell us your most guilty pleasure game, a game that people that probably would never think that. Well, a game that might be bad, but that you like, kind of thing.
What is your Animal Crossing, basically?
Yeah.
Well, I never thought I was going to ever say this in public, but my brother had a PlayStation 1 when it first came out. Well, when it, you know, like the downgraded size, like the PS1, and they like made it smaller and just to get rid of it. And he had Sabrina the Teenage Witch on it, and like I still play that now. It's brilliant. It's like, I don't know. Have you played Pandemonium for the PlayStation 1? That's brilliant, and it's very similar. You know, I love it. Guilty pleasure.
Let me ask you this then, as a follow up: did that show? That's an American show. Did that show actually come out in Britain on BBC or ITV or any of that?
Yeah, it was on on a Saturday. It was like a 4 or 5 hour thing, like on all the channels.
Oh,
and
wow.
Used to play loads of shows. And it was like a big live show, and they're like, oh, here's Sabrina the Teenage Witch and all this random, like, Saved by the Bell and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sabrina was big back in the day, man.
Yeah, it was massive. Huge. I got a tattoo.
I was a boy. Nobody got that joke either.
A boy.
You see where I'm going. Okay. That's right.
Like, he just checked or something. Huh? I still am a boy.
Looking in his pants. That's right. That's right, folks. This is like one of those behind the magic shows where we're going to explain the joke every time we're done. Glacinator, do you have a question, juicy or non-juicy, for Chris?
Well, I've been to London before, and I was only there for about a week, but I didn't really see any arcades. Do they have arcades in London? I mean, I know that they mostly died out here in the US, but are there still any over there?
Well, it's predominantly like these corny beach resorts, like, you know, like really cheesy seaside things, but it's, or in like supermarkets and stuff. It's just, there's no real arcades, and I don't think I've ever experienced a proper arcade. It's just, you are right. And,
okay.
It's weird. Like, I imagine it, like, so it's like in the demise over there as well, is it? Do you reckon?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
because I think Pat put a link up to something in Canada or somewhere, big arcade kind of thing, and I was really jealous of it.
That's a resort town he goes to somewhere in British Columbia. Him and his wife go there every year, and that has to be run by somebody that just loves arcade machines and loved old arcades, because that is an amazing fucking arcade.
It just looks amazing. Like, I'd love something like that over here. Like, I'm considering buying an arcade machine, but, like, I've got nowhere to put it, really, but I just want to make it a good one.
Which one would you want to buy?
I'm not sure. I really want something like, what's that, Super Hang-On. It's like a massive three-seater monster, but I think I'd go with something like Pac-Man, something I can replay all the time.
Yeah, I would like to have one of the sit-down Pac-Mans, because if you did it right, and if you're a little crafty, you could put a little better tabletop, like a protective plexiglass over the top of it, and use it as a table and as an arcade machine. I know people have done it, but you could probably do it yourself. Well, by the time you buy a sit-down Pac-Man arcade machine or find one today, you're probably going to barely have any money left for plexiglass to put over the top of it.
Yeah, you're right.
What's one thing that you would change about the way the gaming industry handles things in the UK, or gaming industry in general? You know, like region locking and different release dates and any of that kind of stuff. What's one thing you'd like to see different than it is right now?
Yeah, like the region locking is a pain in the ass, because I used to buy a lot of like Nintendo games. They weren't region locked. It's like Region Zero or something, and I used to buy a lot of them online, but it's all different now. And another thing, release dates, like all the Americans get all the games first, and then we're way behind then. Like all the British review sites, they're way behind all the time. They're losing coin, you know what I mean? Like, they're losing out on the big scoop because this game been out 6 months already. And I think it's very rare that we have something first, even if it's British produced.
I think, you know, I thought the region locking thing was over, and then fucking Nintendo proved me wrong, because the Wii U is going to be region locked.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't have the exact story in front of me, but I saw a headline when I was doing, you know, when I was looking up news and stuff for the show. I saw a headline that it's region locked. I didn't read any details on it.
The Nintendo are really tight over here. I don't know if it's the same over there. My wife works in a Blockbuster store, and Nintendo, like, you're not allowed to rent Nintendo games. They, like, they've put a lock on it, so they've made it, like, a big no-no. Can you rent Nintendo games over there, though?
We don't even have rental businesses anymore. They've kind of all gone out.
Bloody hell.
Because, like, I saw a picture of your wife that she posted in or it was you in Blockbuster, and I'm like, holy fucking shit, Blockbuster's out of business over here, essentially.
Jesus Christ.
You can't even really rent. I'm in a pretty rural area in California, so I don't know of any places you can rent within like a 30-mile radius of me. Glace, is there still any rental possibilities in either Lafayette or New Orleans?
In Lafayette, there is I forget what the store is called, but it's just basically you go in and you rent games. They have movies. I mean, I'm pretty sure they have everything from probably PS1 on that you can rent.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wish I had that here.
They don't have any old stuff, though, which really sucks, because my friends and I always want to play older things, and we've looked all over the place, and they don't have any places that sell old games anymore.
Yeah, like, Blockbuster here, Chris, has basically tried to turn itself into Netflix in order to stay alive, period. And then we have things like Redbox and Gamefly, which Gamefly is mail rental, or you get mailed games, and then... Has Gamefly moved to the UK yet? I heard they were thinking about it, and then I never heard anything else.
No, our version is Love Film, and they, like, you can either stream stuff or... They send it to you through the post and with no rental charge, no late charges and stuff. But I can't see how that works. Like, what's the flaw in that? Like, you can just keep her indefinitely, can you? Or...
Well, I know with Gamefly, there's like I forget how many days until it triggers. But if you don't return it after a certain amount of time, then they charge you for the full thing.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah.
There's no late charges, but you just get given a bill for the full game.
Yeah, if you keep it like 6 months. I mean, there's got to be some reasonable number in there where if like you haven't returned it in like 6 months, you probably lost it, aren't going to return it. Or... Is there any rental services, John, in Newfoundland still?
Well, I guess the chain that was the biggest competition for Blockbuster around here was called Jumbo Video. And there's a couple of Jumbos around, and they still rent games.
But
since I got Netflix and stuff, and I have my pile of shame that is up to my eyeballs of games, I don't rent them very much these days.
Well, that's kind of the thing with me, and like the only thing I would rent would be like 360 games, because like John, digital. You know, whether it's good old games or Steam, I've got a backlog coming out my ass. So it's like renting PC, and I've got like a ton of mobile games that I should probably play more and don't. Well, thank God most of them I didn't spend any money on. You know, so rental service is never really a huge thing here. I totally agree with you, though. The thing that pisses me off around the world, except maybe Australia, because they can't even figure out if they're going to let games be 18 or not, so let's leave Australia out of it. Why can't we just have the same release date? Nobody's ever given me a credible explanation distribution wise as to why it's impossible to have a worldwide release date. You know,
it really is quite bizarre. It's just strange. It's just, it makes no sense, is it, to like hold off. Like Australia, like you mentioned, they have stuff like way after us. Like, so like that film, I know it's crap, but like Coraline or whatever it's called, that film has just come out in Australia. And I've had that on TV like 2 Christmases ago. It's crazy.
Well, I think with Australia, the gaming industry's taking out its wrath on poor gamers in Australia because their ratings board and their governmental system, I think it's the same in movies too, has been pretty rough on the entertainment industries. Because they're so wishy-washy. At least with the Germans, if it's not up to their scared straight standards, it's just banned.
Yeah.
You know, the Australians keep wavering back and forth, and it gets annoying.
I had German Grand Theft Auto 3, and their blood was green, and that's weird. It's like, and Quake 2 I played German one in the green blood. It's just, that's weird.
It doesn't, you know, that never made any sense to me. I've seen censored copies or turned the adult, like I turned the adult filter on in Gears of War 2.
Yeah.
And it was essentially green blood. You know, and it's like, it's still, you're still sawing through a dude's neck with a chainsaw.
Yeah, just whatever color blood it is, it doesn't make a difference, does it?
Yeah. Like, okay, John, you got any more questions for Chris about any difference?
Yeah. Well, I know you have a Vita, which is interesting because I don't know anybody even around here who has a Vita. Is mobile gaming or portable gaming big where you live?
Not at all. I'm the only one I know with a Vita, and I'm struggling on Twitter. And I was like, who wants to play me on this game, that game? And they're like, what's a Vita? But I see a lot of people on trains and stuff with DSs, but they're playing bloody Brain Training on it. Oh, there's no concrete gaming in portable sense over here at all.
Mm-hmm. How about mobile? Has the mobile gaming taken over more like here in the US, or is it basically the same?
I'd say, well, do you know stuff like that? Draw Something and Song Pop. People mm-hmm. are just playing it constantly. That's the mobile. That's the gaming experience. Like Facebook games or whatever, stuff like that. That's what they play on the go. But it's no like substantial games.
Mm. Yeah, and yeah, that's actually with the mobile gaming. At least from what I've seen, when I see people, you know, around town or in cities, yeah, it's pretty much it's pretty much the casual or social games. You know, you don't see anybody walking down the street playing Infinity Blade.
No.
Which would be kind of hard, actually. I wouldn't want to attempt walking down a street playing Infinity Blade. I'd either end up off a bridge in a river or walked into a light post, one of the two. So maybe that does make some sense. Glacinator, you got any more questions for Chris?
No, I'm good.
I can't think of anything else. Is there actually, let's close it with this. Is there one thing you think that U.S. gamers get wrong about U.K. or European gamers?
Well, every time I go on Xbox Live, I get people from America calling me a fag. That's like, that's it. I'm no fag.
Well, it's, yeah, you're married. and his wife's a woman. I can testify to that, that she's my friend on Facebook. But what's funny to me about that, because I've been on Xbox Live with, you know, with people from the UK, fag means something completely different.
Yeah, it does.
In the UK, even once you strip away all the, once you strip away all the hate speech or whatever you want to call it, you know, the gay and lesbian connotations, it means something entirely different in the
UK. It does. It means a cigarette. Like, a fag. I'm going for a fag.
And it still gets used there quite a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Like it's only recently people have been saying fag in a derogatory term, like faggot or whatever. Like, Korn made that popular when I was in school. But, yeah, it's only lately people have been saying it.
Yeah, I got news for you. Well, no, I suspect with the accent you probably catch a hell of a lot more grief on Xbox Live than we
yeah.
do. Well, and
I hate the Russians.
Well, the thing is Glacinator 9 and John when he's played with us, and Pat and G and all the rest. We just like kind of be the anti-social mob. We just get in a party so we don't have to listen to it. And yeah. then we invite Carlos in to remind us what, like, the rest of Xbox Live is like. So that's kind of the system that keeps us from, you know. And so I don't know whether I'm 20 some odd years too early. I'm just getting the, you know, like a geriatric get off my lawn shtick already because yeah. I'm just so tired of, you know. I love voice chat and I love voice communication, but some days there's days I miss Quake 1 and you have to actually type. And so not too many people did it. So, okay. So that's been our discussion topic. We interrogated Chris a little bit. And if we ever have anybody else new to the show, we'll...
prepare them.
Well, yeah, we'll maybe do that again. I got a comment, just a little tangent, two things. You're actually holding up a cassette tape in your Skype avatar. Which is
no, like that was a phone case, and I took it. I've got a thing for like going into public toilets when I'm drunk and taking a picture on the hand dryer because it's really like a fisheye lens.
Oh,
so that's what I was doing. That's my phone case.
It looks like a damn cassette tape to me.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. It's retro.
Is that a Bones Brigade sweatshirt by any chance?
No, something I was endorsed by Criminal Damage.
Oh, well, see, I am a little older than you. That used to be skateboard team over here. Bones Brigade, Al Peralta. Yeah, they used to have cross, but I think they had like a third bone. This sounds really bad on audio. I think they used to have a third bone going straight down. And so it kind of made like it had the crossbones and then the third bone. Yeah, that sounds horrible, but I'm not cutting it out cuz I never cut anything out of this fucking show. Okay, so that, like I said, it's been our interrogation of Chris. Yeah, that was our interrogation of Chris Lloyd, first time he appeared on the show again, as far as I know. Let's move on to a cut from episode 102. Yes, we're going way back in time for this one. It's one that I still like today. I don't know quite how it's going to hit with the audience for a second time, but it's dealing with the Mass Effect 3 petition and our thoughts and feelings on the Mass Effect 3 petition. And I can tell you, for myself personally, that I still feel exactly the same as I did on episode 102. But, you know, time has gone on since then. This was recorded March 16th in 2012. So, you know, it's still relevant to me today, and it's something I think as gamers we need to listen to. So, enjoy. Let's move on to our discussion topic. I'm bringing up this discussion topic mostly because I don't know. I think gamer culture sometimes is the equivalent of a box of flaming cat carcasses. For those of you that don't know, Mass Effect 3 launched. It had a few issues to start with. Some game-saved import issues if you were silly enough to transfer all your shit to the cloud. I wasn't because it took too fucking long. Some facial importing issues, some this and that, which made me go, oh, boy, am I really glad I didn't buy this day one. But now, apparently, and of course, if you believe the blogs and others, it's a large, I'm doing air quotes, folks, large, massive amount of people do not like the ending of Mass Effect 3. Apparently, and this is not a spoiler, this is me being an asshole, apparently they all expected it to be that at the end of Mass Effect 3, that Shepard would settle with a husband or a wife, or a male or a female, or maybe a Krogan, on Up Uranus Planet 9 into a nice space farming life. I don't quite understand what the fuck they expected, and on top of that, it's a game with a story. You play it, you like it, or you don't. So being kind of that mindset, hearing that there's a petition running around out there to force, again, air quotes, people, BioWare to change the ending strikes me as extremely stupid, and why I said gamer culture most of the time is like a box of burning stinky cat carcasses. But that is not the question I want to ask you, gentlemen, although I got an idea this topic's going to wander all over the place. John, when you settle down to play a game like Mass Effect 3 that's been building for a few, or you read a series of books, this, that, and the other thing, and it doesn't end the way you thought it should, or you had some kind of preconceived expectations that didn't quite pan out, what is your reaction to it? And what is your and if you want to morph that into what is your reaction to this whole, by God, rah-rah, BioWare needs to change the ending, feel free.
If you don't like the endings of your movies or your books, write your own goddamn book and make the ending that you want to make. You know what I mean? Like, someone's put their creative juices into a project and made the best thing that they could make, that they thought that they could make. This, yeah, you know, if it hits the right notes for you, great. If it doesn't, well, that's too bad. But they did, you know, like, why? I don't understand why you know, this. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like they're owed satisfaction, you know, like to their specification. Like, you know, it's someone else's work that they put out there for you to enjoy. And if you do, great. If you don't, well, that's too bad. It's to me, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, as much as I might bitch and complain about George Lucas changing up the Star Wars movies, you know, I'm not going to write a petition for him to put things out back. Put them back, like, you know.
Claysonator, same thing.
Well, I could honestly care less since I haven't played any of them. So.
No, you're not. Nice try, Junior.
Yeah, nice try.
You ain't getting off that lucky. I meant in general. Like, how do you react to, you know, something of this nature, like a series of books, like say they wrapped up the Legends of Zelda, and it didn't have an ending you preferred?
Tough luck. I mean, that's the ending. I mean, it's already made. I mean, that'd be quite ridiculous if they went ahead and remade it, no matter how much money they put into it. You know.
So are you both, and this is a simple yes or no question. So are you both kind of the opinion that once it's made, once it's out, that's it? I mean, you take it or leave it?
Yeah, pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like if there was something broken, if there's something, you know, on some technical level or, you know, honest to God, didn't make sense, you know, maybe. But if it's what the creators intended for it to be and how they wanted it to end or be how they wanted it to be, you know, that's their creative right to make it whatever they wanted to put out.
I've said this for years, and there's one specific person. Well, no, I take that back. There's not one specific person, but there's many people I could think of over the years that, you know, whether you're writing on the internet, making, you know, pictures like Glacinator's multi-armed racquetball god of doom, once you make that public, you got to live and die with it. You know, you got to be the biggest fan of your worst stuff as you are your best stuff. But it just stunned me. I guess I just underestimated how stupid people are, because as the consumer of said product, yeah, it's our job to just take it or leave it. And I just don't, for the life of me, understand why you're wasting time because the ending didn't come out shiny and happy. I swear to God, John, my gut feeling is people were expecting BioWare to somehow make this have a happy ending, and it fucking didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of think from minute one of Mass Effect 2, I saw coming 10 miles out. I don't know about anybody else, you know. But I'm going to ask one more question, and I think I know you guys' answer, but I'm still curious. It's like a car wreck. You just can't look away. Glace, I'll ask you first. Is this within the consumer's right to demand changes like this, like a petition because they did not like the product, or is it not?
Oof, that's a tough one. On one side, I want to say, yes, they have a right, but at the same time, no. Come back to me. I have to think about this.
John, same question.
they have a right. Like, people have a right to complain, like or even discuss how, you know, how they would have done it. That's fine. Like, I watched this video. I mean, back to the Star Wars example. I watched this really good video on YouTube where this guy described how he would have made slight changes to the Phantom Menace to make it in a much more cohesive and movie that made a lot more sense and more, you know, better, well, more efficient, better told, much better than how I'm describing what I'm trying to describe here. But it's like, people can do that. That's great. That's discussion. That's what that's what you know, art and games and movies and books are for discussion. And but to bitch and moan to the creator, oh, you were wrong to decide to do that. I don't buy it at all.
I'll tell you one better. There's a guy that recut the Phantom Menace to cut out all of the Jar Jar Binks and other shit he didn't find acceptable, and posted it. I think Lucas finally made him take it down. But I actually find that acceptable. I'm a little bit like, I don't know, I'm a little bit like Glacinator, but I am so sick and tired of all these petitions and other bullshit for less than important causes that I'm kind of like, if you don't think it was done well enough, fucking do it yourself. And my fellow gamers are pushing me to that because we bitch about everything. We fucking think that we're entitled to how we pictured it in our own little sodden heads. And so I've kind of almost been, to my mind, pushed in the corner or just driven, however you'd like to put it, to where if you didn't like how they fucking did it, do it yourself. You know, I mean, I'm like Glacinator. I struggle with it, but because, you know, consumers should have some recourse, I suppose. But at the same time, too, I don't know, this just keeps popping up and popping up and popping up over and over again. You know,
well, this goes to what I was saying about something being broken. Like, if my coffee maker doesn't work, I bring it back to the store and complain. Give me a coffee that works to my satisfaction. You don't do that. I mean, you can bitch and moan about, you know, that's fine. Like, everybody has a right to bitch, and that's what the internet seems to be for. But it's like, to go to the creator of a game or a movie and say, you're wrong. Can you please make it again? Or, you know, like, it doesn't work that way. It can't. Like,
well, and that's why I'm thinking I've been driven myself to saying, you arrogant shit, shut up. Because at the same time, I bash on pretentious artsy fartsy bastards who are like, oh, well, you just didn't understand my game because it's just too deep for you. Fuck off. You know, it's kind of cuts both ways. And by the way, Glace, you're not artsy fartsy. You haven't gone that far yet, and I don't think you ever will. You're just artsy. You leave out the fartsy part if you're not a pretentious prick. after John and I discussing it, are you still torn? Do you have, or do you want to leave it like that, Glace?
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey, I'm back.
Oh.
I'm gonna leave it that way.
I understand totally. You're not.
I'm still torn.
Yeah, you're not wrong for being that way by a long shot. Anybody gives you any crap for being undecided about it, because I thought about it all week when I saw that petition. My instinct was to be pissed, because it's like, Jesus Christ, do you know how long it took up to make that game? And a handful of you are pissed off. You know, personally for me, I'm going to play it. I'm going to see what the ending is. And I'm going to take that ending and attempt to look at it through the eyes of having played the whole series, if that makes any sense. You know, did they stick to how the whole series had been? Because number one was definitely left at a certain point. Number two was definitely left at a certain point where you knew was going to happen in three. And to me, and me only, I kind of felt like there was only so many endings they could have without pulling a Bioshock. You know? Because that's the other thing, gamers, you got to remember, and audience members, you know, games like Bioshock, the original Bioshock, kind of ended. That's it. That's all. Goodbye. Good night, Gracie. And then they muddled their way into Bioshock 2, which turned out to still be a good game, but they kind of had, you know, painted themselves in a corner. And after playing the first two Mass Effects, I kind of felt that there was only so many options they could go with for an ending to the third. And I kind of had this small feeling that there was going to be a giant poop storm about it, because people have allowed themselves to get so lost in the series, or their expectations were set way too high because they have such orgasmic love for the series, that I don't think anything was going to satisfy a large portion of them. So, yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like Glace posted a cool picture he drew of someone reading, I think it was a Kindle, he said in his comment, and I thought it was a cool photo, a cool picture he drew. Like, you know, I mean, this is his work, this is his art, this is his perspective, you know. But imagine if someone had wrote, you know, or a number of people had wrote on your comment, wrote a comment on your Facebook, I don't like this picture. Can you please redraw it for me, because it's not to my satisfaction? Can you imagine if someone did that? Like, that's bullshit.
I mean, to a certain extent, what I was saying earlier is true, in that once you make it public, you can't control what people are going to say to it.
People can complain, no problem, but like, to actually demand that you redo it, it's just...
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have that too, and you're left with two recourses as the creator. Ignore it, or tell them to piss off. You know, I mean, and I'm not sure... I'm not sure that you know, telling them to piss off is your best option.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, I'm not even looking at this from the what does the person respond with? That's irrelevant to me. That the actual, you know, the people doing this petition or petitions like it is what doesn't make any sense to me, or the entitlement complex that they have. It's stupid.
This next chunk is from episode 95. That's right, pre-episode 100. The first part is just us random bullshitting before the show that I tacked on before the intro music. I'm not entirely sure why I did it now, but I did. And then I'm going to cut out the part that is the intro music, and then you're going to hear us talking about a random incident at Glacinators University, and it kind of leads into something funny. This really doesn't have anything to do with video games. I just remember it very vividly from when we do it, or did the show, excuse me. And so I thought, you know, for the last segment of the best of number 4, I'll just throw all this in. And then maybe I'll dig up an old Pat Man gives you the marketing spiel outro to end it. So here you go. Here's some random clips of randomness.
They should make creepers be able to explode, although that may hurt people. Projectile Legos.
Ooh, I thought you meant like for the 360 version.
No, I meant the actual Legos.
Yeah, how would you do that without maiming some five-year-old? What's the correct amount of gunpowder to put it? You know, the thing is, well, they'd have a... well, that's how you'd have to do it. You'd have to do it with black powder, something that would explode but wouldn't produce shrapnel. Although, I don't know, you may be too young for this, Glacinator, but I can tell you from having melted a couple action figures or two in my time that melting plastic kind of hurts like a motherfucker. You know anything about that, John?
It's hot. It's damn hot.
I don't think there's a geek or nerd our age that didn't do that and now kicks themselves because that, you know, that action figure could be worth several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few of my G.I. Joes went up in a blaze of glory to add realism to my play.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a He-Man figure or two might have went my way, too.
It was either that or take them apart and not understand why the rubber band and the hooks wouldn't go back together, correct?
Yeah. How did they get them in there? Yeah.
I understand mechanics and engineering a lot better today, and I bet I still could do it. When those back,
I think we threw Barbies into the canals back then. That's like, about it.
Like little like sisters or female friends Barbies or just ones you randomly found?
Just, I don't know. I don't have any sisters, so they were my friends' sisters.
Oh my god, your family's all boys? I forgot that.
Yeah, except my mom.
Good lord, I feel sorry for your mother, and I don't even know the woman. Of course you guys are all pretty well behaved. Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 95, creeping ever closer to episode 100. Don't get too excited. As of yet, I've come up with zero ideas for what we're going to do for that episode. Joining me this week, as always, is John.
Hey, hey, and Happy New Year. And it's actually valid this week because this past Monday was the Chinese New Year.
Yes, the Year of the Dragon. So if you have not bought Skyrim, go buy Skyrim. also joining us this week, at least until he's taken hostage, is Glacinator.
Hello, everyone. Hopefully I survive this podcast and do not die. Fingers crossed.
Ladies and gentlemen, about 2 seconds before we started the show, there was a loud bang in my ears, and I thought it was Glacinator screwing around with the soundboard. No, it was a loud bang outside his dorm room window. It sounded like a gunshot, but so far we're not hearing any more return fire, so I think we're okay.
Welcome to South Louisiana.
Woohoo! Yeah, banjo music starts playing. I'm cutting you off this call. It'll just be a two-man show. You're on your own. Welcome to South Louisiana. Yeah, you're not even in New Orleans. I wouldn't think that the crime rate is that high in Lafayette, is it?
No, not that I know of. Might be now.
I think it just went up a little bit. Either that or maybe one of the campus police, Barney Fifed himself in the foot. Do your campus police carry guns? Are they allowed to carry guns?
I think they do.
Oh, God. Terrifies me more in this world than campus police carrying firearms.
And they all have those stupid Segway things as well.
Oh, that's like... good. Let's give Cletus a Segway and a 40mm semi-automatic. That's a good fucking idea right there.
I want to see a high-speed chase in one of those.
Drunk college student running from idiot campus police on a Segway. I swear to God, if you do ever see it, film it with your cell phone. We'll figure out how to put it on the website.
We'll do.
That would surpass the OJ chase, in my mind.
Hopefully it would last a long-ass time, too. Just keep going and going and going.
Or better yet, the drunk college student hijacks one of the Segways and then they pursue him. Do they have lights? Do they have like the whole lights and red lights and shit on them?
Yeah, it's like with the big wheels and everything.
Yeah, but does it have like flashing lights on it too, like a regular cop car?
And a siren or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't want to test it out.
instigate
next time
anything.
Next time you walk by one of them, see if it does, because then I'm going to see if I can hire somebody in Lafayette, Louisiana to steal me one, because I want a Segway with fucking lights and siren on it. That would be the coolest thing ever. Drive around my neighborhood terrifying old people. Woo!
Woo!
You're being pulled over by a Segway. That has nothing to do with video games. Let's see if we can get this show back on track. Glacinator, why don't you tell us what you've been playing this week? Okay, that was some random cuts that I find amusing. Maybe one or two other goofy bastards like me will find amusing from episode 95, I do believe. And that's pretty much it for the Best Of show. I'm going to leave you tonight with how do I put this, marketing prostitution chunk from our very own Patman, who doesn't get to appear on the show quite as frequently as he used to, except there's going to be one significant difference. I will see you all next week when we record a proper episode, which will be episode 156. Until then, Pat, take it away. It's never going to end. Patrick, why don't you give him the spiel? We've been here long enough. No news this week. People got off lucky.
Okay. Well, it's my time to prostitute all sorts of things WonderPod Online. We are on Facebook. Yes, we are. Lots of friends, lots of friend requests. Keep them coming. WonderPod Online. It's actually three words, which is kind of weird, but that's how Facebook had me do it. WonderPod Online on Facebook. You can ask us questions. It's been a while since we've had any Facebook questions, but we do answer them on the show. Sometimes we forget, and it's a couple weeks behind, but we get to it eventually. We are, of course, on WonderPodOnline.com. That would be our blog. There's all sorts of stuff. There's a new guy writing there just this week. He's got some Dead Island thoughts and NHL thoughts. Of course, Mr. John Kind is on there. Bruce McGee's on there. Our very own Audio Master G. All sorts of great people. We also have the podcast itself. They're in MP3 format, so if you don't like Apple, if you're an Apple hater, just go there and download the MP3. It's up there once a week, usually on a Friday. Of course, those of you that do like Apple, which is 99% of the people apparently, we're on iTunes. We're also on Apple TV. You can subscribe. You can comment. You could tell us we suck. You can tell us we rule. I don't care. As long as you pay us attention, it doesn't matter because we're attention whores. And aside from that, we got some YouTube videos. We've got, I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff that I'm probably forgetting about, but that's okay. We are on Twitter, so Jonathan and Mr. Bruce will tell you about that. And, of course, we have emails to send all your hate mail to. So what is that email, Bruce McGee?
The email is wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. We do have a Twitter account. It's WonderPodOnline, at WonderPodOnline. My personal account is at O-R-I-G-I-M, or you can find it under Bruce McGee if you search through Twitter. And Mr. Jonathan has one as well.
Yeah,
what is it?
I am at John Kehoe, J-O-N-K-E-H-O-E. You can follow me on there.
There you go. You have no reason now, if you're listening to the show, to cuss us for stacking up dead people like pyramids, making them into dominoes that spell out things. For me bashing on Cliffy again. For us making fun of Coltrane. For me telling John that I've never heard anybody say that the single player sucked until Pat confirmed it in Left 4 Dead 2. Any of those things, you have now multitude of ways to reach us. If you'd like to remain anonymous, you can do so. But if I know who you are, I'm going to out you on the show anyway. So, keep all of that in mind. And until...